Do the right thing. Every day, we're faced with dozens of choices. Some are large ones, requiring thoughtful decisions, but many are so small that they never even register on a conscious level, but come more as feelings and reactions. In all of these choices, be they mental or emotional, there is an option that expands and lifts us, and one that contracts us into greater self-centeredness. When our reactive processes get aroused, they block our ability to make any choice, let alone the right one. At these times, the best strategy is to do a reset. Take a few deep breaths. Step away from the problem for a bit, or even get a night's sleep. Yesterday, I was trying to finish a project when my printer stopped working. No matter what I tried, I couldn't get it to print even a single page. After an hour, I was frustrated and irritated. The reactive processes were in full control, and I gave up temporarily. This morning, having a good night's sleep to do a reset, I did just that with the printer. I reset it to the factory settings. It worked perfectly. This simple, mundane example illustrates a three-step process for making the right decision. First, get centered. Next, use your mind and intuition to look for a solution. Finally, listen calmly, because the solution is already there waiting for you. When interacting with others, doing the right thing can be expressed in the words of Jesus, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." This advice is so fundamental to right action that a variation of it appears in all of the great world's religions and paths. We were recently sent a touching story of this principle in action. Here's the story. Shay had not developed quite normally. One day, he and his father walked past a park where some boys Shay knew were playing baseball. Shay asked, "Do you think they'll let me play?" Even though Shay's father knew that most boys wouldn't want him on their team, he approached one of the boys and asked if Shay could play. The boy looked for guidance from his teammates. Getting none, he took matters into his own hands and said, "We're losing by 6 runs, and the game is in the 8th inning. I guess he can be on our team, and I'll try to put him up to bat in the 9th inning. In the bottom of the 9th inning, Shay's team had scored several times, and now with 2 outs and bases loaded, the potential tying runs were on base. Shay was up next, but would the team actually let him bat? Surprisingly, Shay was allowed to play, even though everyone knew that he didn't even know how to hold the bat properly, much less contact with the ball. However, as Shay stepped up to the plate, the pitcher moved forward a few steps to lob the ball in softly so Shay could at least try to make contact. The first pitch came, and Shay swung clumsily and missed. The pitcher came another few steps closer to toss the ball even more softly. This time, Shay hit a slow grounder back to the pitcher, who could easily have thrown the ball to the first baseman. Shay would have been out and the game over. Instead, the pitcher threw the ball in a high arc over the head of his teammate. Everyone started to yell, "Shay, run to first! Run to first!" Never in his life had Shay ever made it to first base. He scampered down the baseline, wide-eyed and startled. "Run to second! Run to second!" they shouted. By the time Shay rounded the first base, the player had the ball and could have thrown him out. But He understood the pitcher's intentions, so he threw the ball high over the second baseman's head. As Shea reached second base, the opposing shortstop ran to him and turned him in the direction of third base, shouting, "Run to third!" As Shea rounded third base, the boys from both teams were screaming, "Shea, run home! Shea, run home!" Shea ran home, stepped on home plate, and was cheered as the hero for hitting a grand slam and winning the game for his team. When anyone, especially a child, acts selflessly, it plucks the strings of our heart and soul. Doing the right thing kindles the light of God, which spreads in ever-expanding circles, touching all those around us. Yet Paramahansa Yogananda reminds us, the only one who does good is God. It is His world. If you give everything, both good and bad actions, to Him, you'll be surprised to see how all your actions will be changed to good. You will not be able to do anything wrong when the consciousness of God is with you. Day by day, hour by hour, let's try to do our best to do the right thing. If we act with calmness, kindness, and goodwill, then God will take care of the rest. In God's light, Nayaswami Jyotish. Well, obviously, I felt, and you could undoubtedly feel, this is a beautiful story about Shea and the selfless actions on the part of both teams, really, but especially the opposing team. But those kinds of stories show us the potential within everyone to do something that is helpful to others. What a different world this would be if all of us just tried to do the right thing in every situation. Obviously, we'll fail. Obviously, there will be times when we don't even consider doing the right thing. But if we develop the habit pattern of trying to do the right thing, and even more importantly, if we develop the habit pattern of turning to God to help us and to see Him flowing through us, then our actions will be in tune with the greater consciousness that produced this world. And as Master said, when we're in tune with God, when we're in Him, we can't even do a single thing that's wrong. So let's meditate deeply during the day. Let's try to keep attuned to the high teachings that we have received. And let's do our little part to try to be a channel by doing the right thing. God bless you.